I have heard of beautiful cities far off in the land of the blessed, but in the only cities I've ever known, the weary get no rest.
From Colorado and today, Washington, D.C., welcome to the Tim Danahy Show here at Danahy.com, and we're a proud member of the Coffee Party USA Network. And I'm going to ask, does anyone beside me remember that horrible economics professor from the great movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off? And you know the guy. He's the guy who said, okay, class, who can tell me the tariff law that Congress passed? Anyone? Anyone? It was the Smoot. Anyone? Anyone? Holly Bill. And that scene was kind of a classic for boring classroom issues. And the teacher... you know, as a footnote, or ironically, it was played by Ben Stein, who in real life, in my opinion, is also a bad economist. So the point of that little story is today's show's topic may seem boring at first mention, but it's not. In fact, it's infuriating. It's unjust. It's exploitative. It's immoral. And the subject is tax liens foreclosures, and it's how predatory investors are swooping in to take homes from old people or incompetent people or infirm people just because these people, they're homeowners who couldn't pay or weren't even competent to pay their property taxes. And so I'm upset about this, and I want you to be upset about it too. So let's both listen to the facts from one of Tim Danahy Show's earliest followers, Larry Checco. Larry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tim. Pleasure to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back, and you know, I've known you for three or four years now, something like that, and we've had the chance to hook up in Washington a couple of times, and I appreciate everything you do. You're a man of many interests, but this tax lien foreclosure issue absolutely grabbed you. What is this issue, and how did it get you so much let go?
Okay. Well, I got interested in the issue, Tim, about a year and a half ago when the Washington Post ran a series of articles on tax lien foreclosures, and the part of it got really to my gut and to my heart was a story about a fellow, a 76-year-old fellow by the name of Benny Coleman, who was profiled in the series. And Benny owed the District of Columbia, where I live, D.C., Washington, D.C., $134 in back property taxes. Okay, that debt was sold at auction to an investor who, over time, tacked on legal and other fees, allowing Coleman's debt to soar to almost $5,000, $4,999 to be exact. You know, of course, Benny couldn't afford to pay this. He couldn't afford to pay $134. So as a result, he lost his $197,000 home. And he had lived in this place and purchased it decades ago for $57,000 with life insurance money that he received when his wife died in 1988. And he didn't get a dime of any of that appreciation. He bought it for $57,000 and was sold for $197,000 by the investor, and they reaped all the profits. And Benny was left on the street.
Well,
and I thought about this. Okay.
Well, yeah. Larry, let me just see how this Benny could get into the situation. Now, I know in our property taxes that, you know, they build it into the mortgage. I have a mortgage, and every month we pay a portion of the property taxes, and every year we adjust it one way or the other. So really, these are like elderly people and infirm people or people who inherited homes, but they own their homes free and clear with a lot of equity, right?
There you go. That's the answer. That is the answer. They, a lot of these people own their homes free and clear, and therefore their escrow accounts are no longer in existence. They don't. Even when you pay your mortgage, you know, usually the taxes are paid as a result of the PITI, you know, principal interest taxes and insurance. And but when you pay off your mortgage, it's all done except for the property tax. And here's Benny, who is 76 years old. He's a Vietnam War veteran, Marine Corps sergeant, and he's slightly demented. And as I said before, he had very little in the way of backup, very little in the way of family who was really looking after his financial interests. And it just came home to roost that he owed the District of Columbia $134. And after it was sold at auction, the fees went up, and his $134 property tax lien turned into a $5,000 debt, which, of course, he couldn't pay. And it's just really a shame that he had bought this house decades ago for $57,000 with life insurance money that he received when his wife died in 1988. The investor turned around after they foreclosed on Benny and sold the house for $197,000, of which he did not receive a penny. And this kind of really got to me. And so I did some investigation. And what I found, and a lot of what I found, I can attribute to the National Consumer Law Center out of Boston. But they estimate that property tax delinquencies amount to approximately $15 billion a year, and an estimated $5 billion is sold to investors at tax sales annually. So it's a big, big business. You know, we're talking about a $5 billion business annually. And unfortunately, it's not always attracting the most scrupulous kind of folks here. A lot of the people who are getting foreclosed upon are low, moderate income people. A lot of these homes, as you indicated, these homes have been paid for. A lot of these people are disabled or, in Benny's case, are demented. And so they're being preyed upon by these quote-unquote investors. And I guess, you know, Tim, this is something that's always bothered me, but there's a big, big difference between doing what's legal and doing what's ethical or doing the right thing. And there is no law that I can see right now that prevents people from buying these tax lien foreclosures. In fact, it's a veritable business. It's a viable business. Your brother-in-law could be involved in this business. It's just out there. And it's being promoted, especially on late-night TV, if you stay up late at night to watch it. There are all these quick get-rich-quick schemes. And tax lien investing is one of those. If you just Google tax lien investing, scores of courses and books and online advice, you know, just automatically pop up. The industry has, I think, more than one national association, and everything and everyone from hedge funds to grandma and grandpa, you know, seem to be in the game. And the online sites tout this as investing as being risk-free. Well, that's not the case. Unless you really know what you're doing, purchasing tax lien foreclosures is rife. It's tax liens, not the foreclosures. Purchasing tax liens is rife with pitfalls for unwitting investors. So it's again, it's one of those forms of capitalism that I do not underwrite or support.
Well, really, you're being gracious, aren't you, Larry, whenever you call them investors? They're really kind of a subhuman to really prey upon a 76-year-old Vietnam veteran with dementia who owes $134 and is willing to put him out on the street in order to realize a $190,000 gain on this, quote, subhuman investment. This just defies every aspect of humanity. And yet, as you mentioned, this is a $5 billion industry, and they seem to have a trade group. Now, is this trade group, do they lobby? Are there any homeowners groups or veterans groups that might say, yes, it's legal for you to buy it, but maybe we should make it illegal for government to sell these tax liens? Or what alternatives are there?
Well, one of the things I'm trying to do is I'm trying to raise awareness around this issue. And I would really like to start a national movement, not only around awareness that this is happening, but to educate both the public and the local communities. Because if you think about this, Tim, think about it for 1 minute. You put somebody out on the street for $134, because that's all the government gets. They don't get the $197,000. That goes to the quote-unquote investor. The local government gets $134, maybe, because maybe the investor bought it pennies on the dollar. I'm not so sure. But, you know, now you've got a homeless person. And how much is it going to cost the community to rehouse this folk, this person? It's totally counterintuitive. And so I firmly believe that there is a dire need for education and advocacy and awareness around this issue. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a workshop very soon on this in Kansas City, in the hopes of raising some awareness. And it's a big project that I'm trying to work on here. It's like an elephant, and how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So I'm taking it one bite at a time. But there are lots of organizations involved in this, everybody from the National Consumer Legal Center to AARP to local governments who are trying to figure this out. But for some reason, they're all working in silos. And I would really like to bust those silos down and say, hey, guys, this is a real issue. If we put our heads together, we might be able to figure out how to circumvent this, because it's not benefiting anybody. It's not benefiting the homeowner.
Well,
because a lot of times they're put under tremendous stress to pay this money, or they get foreclosed upon, which is the worst possible case. And quite frankly, the community isn't benefiting because their taxes are not going to house a homeless person, rather than the city collect their few hundred dollars. One of the things that I learned from the NCLC, the National Consumer Legal Center, is that most of these tax liens, the average tax lien is $2,000 or less. And so how much does it cost to house somebody? A lot more than $2,000.
Well, I'll tell you what, Larry, what I want to do is you're my friend, I know you, and what I want to do when we come back from commercial is I want to play with the numbers involved with this, just to kind of put together a hypothetical example, so we can get people to understand that this is insanity, this policy of pursuing what's going on, and maybe we can even brainstorm a couple of solutions. How does that sound?
That'd be great.
Okay.
I'm always in favor of solutions.
There we go. We're talking with Larry Checco, and he is a leading national advocate to get this problem of tax lien foreclosures to return some sanity to the issue. And you're listening to him here on the Tim Danahy Show. We'll be right back.
Far up in the azure sky, but the only mansions I've ever known were not for you and I.
A good man, real people, clear thinking, enjoyable, quality talk, a new name, EgbertoWillies.com. He talks politics, he talks issues, and you can hear his radio shows and read his blog at EgbertoWillies.com. You can link to him here at Danahy.com. He's also part of CoffeePartyUSA.com's network. Or, if you can spell EgbertoWillies.com, you found a new voice you'll want to hear. EgbertoWillies.com.
I have heard of beautiful stories and of times that are going to be, but the only times that I've ever
preserve a nation one community at a time, with shared knowledge and an informed electorate, with many voices speaking with civility and integrity. And we will preserve our nation when we participate, we learn, we discuss, we vote. We are the Coffee Party USA. Join us today, CoffeePartyUSA.com.
I've heard of beautiful countries far off in the land of the dead.
Welcome to this episode of Danahy.com's American History Minute, a one-minute story about little-known events. And here's today's story. In 1942, the U.S. Army sent out an emergency call for citizens with a gift for mathematics. These citizens gathered at the University of Pennsylvania and tirelessly calculated the differential equations, accounting for the many variables affecting weaponry. These citizens prepared the firing table for every howitzer, every mortar, every bomber and ship-mounted cannon in World War II, the weapons that won the war for the United States. These mathematically gifted citizens went on to debug and program the first electronic computer, the ENIAC. And after the war, these mathematically gifted citizens were shunned by the military computer industry. These citizens were cropped from recruiting posters. Why? These mathematically gifted citizens who developed the field manuals that guided the weapons that won the war were high school girls. High school girls recruited to serve the nation while the men fought overseas and the older women worked at our factories. These girls helped win World War II and establish the modern information technology industry. These high school girls were called computers, and the name stuck. This has been provided by The Tim Danahy Show. Please like us on Facebook at Tim Danahy Show and follow us on Twitter at hashtag Tim Danahy Show. And thank you for listening to Danahy.com.
But in the only countries I've ever known, the poor and hungry lack bread.
All right, welcome back to the Tim Danahy Show here at Danahy.com, a proud member of the Coffee Party USA Network. And we're talking with a really good man. And as I told him off air, whenever he speaks, you can hear his humanity. He's a man who speaks with his heart, and he has a passion for what he believes. And certainly today's subject is something for which he is passionate and believes must be addressed, and that is the abuse of tax lien foreclosures across the country. How, for relatively small amounts, predatory. Larry was polite and called them investors, but I'll call them vultures, or I'll call them carpetbaggers. I'll call them anything else, but it's not investing. They come in and they'll foreclose on elderly people and veterans and people with infirmities, both physical and mental, and they'll take their homes from them for the sake of making quick money. And it is a problem, but the amazing thing, Larry, is that we're not aware, really, of the size of the problem. I mean, we know the $15 billion of tax liens. We know that $5 billion of tax liens are sold to investors, but nobody knows what the cost of these foreclosures is to the community as a whole, do they?
Well, to the taxpayers, quite frankly, because, as I said before, the average tax lien is about, a delinquent tax lien is about $2,000 or less, according to, the average is about $2,000, according to the National Consumer Law Center. And So the county is going to gain, $2,000, or the local community is going to gain $2,000 by having this collected. And then what? I mean, now you've got somebody who, you've got a family, perhaps, that needs to be housed. It doesn't make sense, and the taxpayer ends up footing the bill, because now you have to go to building, what people like to call affordable housing. And that's not cheap. So it's just a circular, counterintuitive issue for me, Tim. It just doesn't make sense economically, financially, politically, socially, morally, ethically. You name the lien, and I'll tell you, it doesn't make sense.
Well, you look at this thing, and you're a much nicer guy than I am. But I hear you saying this, but I want to kind of play with these numbers, And so let's suppose there's a 70-year-old Vietnam veteran who has owes $1,000 of property taxes, and some kind of predator, vulture, carpetbagger comes in and is willing to buy up that tax lien and foreclose on him. Okay, the 70-year-old Vietnam veteran whose house was free and clear, he owned it, he's now on the street. Well, one would think that it probably costs $30 or $40 a night to house the guy in a shelter. And I look at that and I say, okay, $30, $40, it doesn't sound like much, but you're looking at about $12,000 a year. You know, it probably cost about $20 a day to feed him. That's another, call it $7,000 or $8,000 a year. You're up to $20,000. It probably costs him, you know, to clothe him, to do whatever, to give him some sort of semblance of life. I left healthcare out of there, presuming that whatever his healthcare status was before, it's sustained. But we're talking about basic food and shelter. I mean, it could be costing a community $20,000 a year to take care of a man who simply owed $2,000 in tax liens, correct?
That's exactly right. And that's what's so irritating about this problem, is that the taxpayer ends up footing the bill because the local community government can't figure this out in a more equitable fashion. And the only person who really makes money are these. I'll continue to call them investors because, you know, that's what they like to call themselves, and I'll be kind. But the interest and penalty homeowners pay to redeem their property after a sales tax is purchased by an investor can be excessive. I mean, ranging from 18% to as high as 50% in some states. So if they want to redeem their property, you know, they have to pay the investor up to 18% to 50%. Of what they already owe, and they're already stuck for cash, or else they would have paid it. Now, here it's a little bit more complicated than we've laid out so far, too, Tim, because what happens is even though these tax liens are touted on late-night TV and in advertisements and on YouTube as risk-free investments, they're anything but. You have to really know what you're doing. You have to know which liens to invest in. It's a long process before you can foreclose on somebody. There's a lot of legal rigmarole that the investor needs to go through. And you know, the people who really make out are the hedge funds. The hedge funds are in there, and they understand the process. They have the lawyers. But these things are also being advertised to grandma and grandpa as steady, you know, fixed income assets for them to have as they age in place. And quite frankly, it's not as easy as that. They better be careful. Grandma and grandpa better be careful when they invest in these tax liens, because they don't always end up the way they would like them to end up. They don't always bring the percentage of income that they would like to have. It's a very complicated, like all these things are. But I guess if you just want to simplify it, it just turns out to be capitalism at its worst. But and Larry, look, I'm a capitalist. Yeah. I work for myself. I know what capitalism is about. And I think it's a great motivator. It does a lot of good things. But if we're going to use capitalism as an excuse to eat our own, and that's why I call it cannibalistic capitalism, because that's what these people are doing. They're eating the innocent up. There's no way that these people can survive in an environment like this. They don't have the resources, the intellect, the education, you name it. And they're just being abused. And that's where my indignation comes in.
To me, they're the same as child predators, except they're predators for the elderly and the infirmed. But Larry, we look at this. Okay, so they're not only are they exploiting the individual homeowners or preying upon them, they've turned it into a cottage industry where they're preying upon the unsophisticated investors to go into this allegedly risk-free investment, and it isn't even risk-free for the people getting in. This is still a further feeding a rapacious appetite of the sophisticated hedge funds and predators of tax lien foreclosures. But when I look at this and say, couldn't the municipalities who assess these tax liens, don't they have some sort of place in line for a claim on the property should the property ever transact through death or sale or whatever. Wouldn't it be better just to affirm their place in line, not sell the tax lien? And it would be better for the community to say, all right, well, they're elderly, we can wait this one out and assess a small interest fee on it. Wouldn't that be more equitable?
Well, that's one strategy, and I think you've hit on a very interesting point here, because I think there's a lot of research that needs to be done on this issue. And with the strategy that you just outlined would be one that needs to be researched. You know, how do municipalities handle this so that they don't put people at risk of foreclosure when they sell their tax liens? There's so little information out there that it's pathetic in a sense, because this is I've spoken to especially community development people in places as far flung as Seattle, Michigan, Boston, Virginia, and every one of those communities has the same growing problem, and it is a growing problem, as some would say to me. I was just at a national conference, and I brought this issue up, and somebody said, yeah, and this isn't going away anytime soon. In fact, a report, the most comprehensive report that I've seen on this issue, was put out by the National Consumer Law Center in 2012 by a fellow by the name of John Rao, A-R-A-O, and they entitled it The Other Foreclosure Crisis: Property Tax Lien Sales. And it is an issue. It is a crisis. It is putting people on the street. And, you know, interestingly enough, who are the most abused in this process? Once again, it falls on low-income communities with large African-American and Latino population. You know, these groups were already targeted, you know, prior to the great financial recession, the Great Recession, by subprime lenders or predatory lenders to the run-up of the Great Recession. So these people are continually get preyed on. And then, you know, in our national narrative, talking about how people can't pay their taxes, well, one of the reasons they can't pay their taxes is because every time we try to give them a leg up, somebody else is knocking the other leg up from under them with something like this, and, you know, or revolving credit or payday lenders. I mean, these people are in a what they call a debt trap, not a death trap, but a debt trap. You know, you get yourself in debt, and no one is out there really helping you get out of it. They're only reinforcing it. I mean, you know, I get my MasterCard or Visa card or American Express card or any card that you have that's a credit card. And you know, you owe $2,000, but, you know, all you need to give us is $20 this month. Oh, yeah, well, that's great. I'll give you the $20, and then, you know, you're claiming interest on the rest of it. And a lot of people fall for that. You'd be surprised. That's how people get themselves into harm's way financially. And so, you know, how do we expect people to get out of these messes when they're already financially strapped, and we're not giving them a ladder? We're just keeping, you know, we just keep pulling the ladder up rather than putting one down for them to climb up. Well, so it's a circular issue, and I'm kind of dedicated to trying to turn things around, at least change the narrative about this.
Well, Larry, the timing is right on this, because really when we're looking at some of the issues coming up, they're starting to shine lights on issues such as fees that municipalities are charging, and whether it be traffic tickets or fines or whatever, and then people can't pay them, and then they compound them, and then they have ridiculous mm-hmm. fees. Municipalities in their search for revenues and viability, they feel this need to pick on the people who cannot afford to defend themselves and must be compliant upon all these excessive fees. So really, Larry, I am so thankful that you're taking the point on this, that you're taking the lead, and that you are out there doing it. You're the right man for this job, and I'm hoping that you'll always feel welcome to come back on the show, and let's keep shining a light on these tax lien foreclosures, because as I said at the beginning, this upsets me, and it should be be upsetting listeners, because this sounds like, with just a little bit of research into this thing, that this is an eminently solvable situation.
And it's just the tip of the iceberg, Kim. It's just one in many ways that our system's not working for the people who need it to work for them the most. And so, at any rate, I really appreciate your giving me your time and your intellect, and I'm really glad that we're friends.
Larry, you're a good man, and you and I will be talking about this and other things many times down the road, and I know the listeners will enjoy having you back, same as I do. Larry Checco, and you heard him here on the Tim Danahy Show.
I have heard a beautiful
The network grows. Voices speaking news corporate media won't broadcast. Danahy.com, EgbertoWillies.com, and now we add ITakeLibertyWithMyCoffee.com with Bobby Rodrigo. Informed, progressive, truthful voices discussing issues above the sound bites of politicians and press releases. Real news with consequences for America, for democracy, for justice, for you. Welcome to Bobby Rodrigo and I Take Liberty with My Coffee.com. Listen now.
To be worn by the fighters of sin, but the only garments I've ever known in winter were terribly thin. I have heard of beautiful banquets far off in in the land beyond the grave, and the only thing I know for sure is that here I am a slave. And I'm tired of hearing of these beautiful things in the land beyond the grave, and the I know for sure is here.